What a peculiar place to have a party.
Welcome to Don't Panic Steve, the podcast that's all about panic attacks, with me, Claire Easton, best-selling author and award-winning mental health blogger, and my mate Chris.
Just the usual disclaimer before we start, in no way is this podcast taking the piss out of mental illness. It's something I take very seriously as I live with it, but I do think there's some benefit in humour. All right,
how's it going?
All right, a lot has happened. It's been a couple of weeks this time, hasn't it?
It has, yeah. I was going to ask, are we pretending that, you know, we've just not missed, that we haven't missed a week?
But yeah, let's pretend. It's fine. We're delayed putting it up. No. Have you been?
Yeah, not bad. I was in the lakes on the hottest day ever recorded.
I saw. Oh, and that was my phone. That's professional. I'll just move that.
Yeah, have you ever been in a metal box on the hottest day ever recorded? I wasn't kidding.
I hope to.
I was in a caravan. it's hot.
Is this when you went to the spa? Because Beck was telling me that you should pretending she was in like Final Destination, stuck in a sauna. Like,
that was a couple of days before. But yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was very hot, very hot indeed.
Relaxing.
But, yes, it was child free, which is a rare treat these days.
That's good.
A few days away.
It has been bloody hot though.
I know, it really has. Keep hearing people say, it's too warm, it's too warm.
I was one of those people.
Yeah, no, I agree. There's a limit, isn't there?
Well, I adopted a cat in the last 2 weeks.
Right, okay. What's the cat called?
Well, I thought she was called Sasha because I called her after Beyonce's alter ego, Sasha Fierce, because unlike my dog, or not like, unlike dogs in general, she just does what she wants.
Hang on, did you say you thought she was called Sasha and then you said because you named her that?
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
I have this affinity, yeah. I can look in someone's eyes and be like, I know what you're called. So I called her that because she was just, it was like 2 weeks and she was just hanging out in the garden and I was like, oh, okay, cool. I've never had a cat. I don't normally bond with them, but she was really sweet and I was like, oh, cool, okay. We kind of, you know, had cuddles. I bought her food because I can't help it. It's like, cool, all right. I'm like, I think she has an owner because she's got a good coat.
I was going to say, does the owner know about this?
I don't think so. But so I was like, okay, well, we'll see what happens with this. But at the weekend, I think it was Friday, the doorbell went and I answered it. And I should point out, right, because of the heat, and this links back to the heat, I'd only had a green apple to eat all day.
It's very specific.
Do you know how weird is that? I only like green apples. But and because I'm like, oh, I'll just have a glass of wine, like a glass of red while I was like finishing off the day. Hmm. Must have been a 175. Oh my god, it went straight to my head. And oh, I didn't understand. I was like, oh, it's because I've only
had. Yeah, it will do when you have one green apple all day.
So I answered the door, like, alright? Just really like blasé. And she's like, excuse me. And I was like, shit, you're alright. And she's like, can I go in your back garden? And my instinct was like, of course you can. Wait a minute, who are you?
Like, yeah, you should probably question that first.
But she said, we've got two cats and we've been on holiday for 2 weeks and the smallest one, Poppy, we can't find her. And I was like, oh, shit. Oh, I was like, well, please come round. check the garden and she, you know, we've got a pond in the back, kind of like, she fell in the pond.
Right, the owner or the cat?
The woman, the owner. Really? Yeah, seriously. And I was like, she lifted this fence off that we have too. She was like, I think I can hear her meowing from your garden. And I was like, oh, shit. But lifted it off. I think she underestimated how steep that hill is.
Yeah.
Because she was like, Poppy, and I just, boosh. Like, she was like, she was up to her thigh, one leg. Like, and I was like, oh, shit, are you all right?
Shouting. You live in a sitcom.
She was, and I stuck my head through like, the fences and I could see this cat and I was like, oh my God. And she's like, puppy, come to mummy. And cats.
We were like, you mean Sasha.
I did. I was in my head, oh, Sasha, shit. But because cats being cats, now I know what the personalities are like. Mm-hmm. This cat was looking at her, we're like, oh, there you are.
Oh yeah, the cat wouldn't be remotely bothered.
You think I'm coming to you? You've left me for 2 weeks. And she's like, come to mummy. Like, wet through. Like, she climbed through the bushes. This one like, oh, I'm coming, mummy's coming. And I was like, oh my God. Had her, but this cat didn't fuss at all, so it's obviously her owner. This cat was just like,
Cats are a bit weird outdoors, I've noticed. Like, inside, well, my cat is anyway. Inside, it's like all over me. You know, he wants me to stroke her and stuff. And then the minute you get outside, it's like, who are you? So, like, a bit like he's acting cool in front of the other cats.
Street cred.
Yeah.
Well, this was, so she came out with the cat wet from the waist down, and I was just like, oh, see ya.
Nice to meet you.
Left, but, and she came back today, this cat. And I was like, oh, I'm not sure you should be here, Sasha. Poppy. So that was...
God, that's quite eventful.
And that was, yeah, I mean, that was the Friday. I was, there's something about, because obviously I'm a dog person, I always will be, but there's something about the confidence of a cat.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this is very intriguing to me. Like, this cat just does what she wants.
Yeah, they're very independent, aren't they? They get on with it, do what they want.
And doesn't apologise, doesn't ask permission. And if I do something she doesn't like, she leaves.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, that was one day. Christ, I could do you like... And then on the next day...
You start writing these things
down. Dear diary. That's why I'm a writer, mate. But other than that, you know, it's been hot. I'm plodding along. Good.
How do you find the heat affects things like anxiety and, you know, symptoms and things?
Personally, that's a good link back to the podcast there. Well, done.
I remember doing a podcast about mental health and not cats.
Could do, no. I'm wrong.
Could be a spin-off.
I've always been a bit of a vampire. It's something my parents used to like be like beside themselves with because they both really like the heat. I've always hated it. So, not great. I'm not a fan. Yeah. Like, I'm always in the shade. I'm always covered in water. I can deal with it as long as I'm prepared, as long as I've got like my SPF 50, my hat, my shades, my Evian, or... What's the other one that's nice? Vittel, is that one?
I don't know, all water tastes the same to me, to be honest.
Have you ever been to the South? It does not taste the same.
Yeah, no, actually, yeah. I take that back. Soft. They call it soft water, don't they? Yeah, that is truly rubbish when you're used to good old northern hard water.
Especially when there's something floating in your tea and it's, you know, it's just the water, but it's disgusting.
Yeah, lime scale.
But no, not great for me personally, but... I know how to, handle it and kind of prepare for it.
Yeah,
so this week, Christ, we're 7 minutes in this time. That's getting worse.
These are going to start being 3 hours long.
This week, we're going to talk about treatment for panic attacks. I know they said panic disorder then. We're going to talk about treatment for panic attacks or panic disorder. Very similar, and see how we get on. I've tried probably everything there is. I was talking to a clinical psychologist today called Dr. Soph, who's... How cool is that?
Dr. Soph?
Yeah.
Just like S-O-P-H?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
She's she kind of made a name for herself on Instagram because she does a lot of stuff for free.
Right.
And she does all her stuff via Skype or phone because people who live with quite serious mental conditions can't leave... Well, it's not that they can't leave the house, they're just not ready to yet.
Right, okay.
So it's great to get therapy in your house. But I was talking to her about it today, and she made a really interesting point about how her clients who have panic attacks actually recover faster than the ones who have kind of low-level, mid-level anxiety.
Oh, right, okay. That's
because when you get to that point in panic, you will try anything.
Yeah.
It's that bad, and it's that aggressive. They'll kind of do whatever she says.
Right.
I'm like, that's interesting. Like, you're much more willing to accept help.
Yeah, because the alternative is just living with crippling symptoms and things.
Because I was thinking more about myself. I'm like, yeah, that was me for years. I lived with kind of mid-level to high-level anxiety and thought I can just about keep a lid on this.
Yeah.
But then the panic appeared and I was like, absolutely not.
Mm.
Trying to think what the equivalent is physically. It's coming into my head again. I keep bringing this up in podcasts. You know, if I kicked you in the balls, you're like more likely to do something about that than you would.
It's worrying that every time you see me, that's one of your first thoughts.
I think it's because I don't have them and I don't know how painful it would be. So I'm always kind of intrigued.
Some men say it's more painful than childbirth, don't they? But
yeah.
just for the record, I'm not one of those men.
Good man. I never say that. Well... Right, so I thought we could kind of talk about the different treatment options.
Well, there's three of them, don't you know?
Oh, go on, what are they?
Yes, I've read the six words you sent me to.
It's getting worse and worse, isn't it? Research this week, six words.
Yeah, if it doesn't fit into a tweet, then I'm not going to read it. So let me see if I can remember them. So therapy.
Yeah.
Medication.
Yeah.
And changes in lifestyle.
Oh my God.
See?
Yeah, it is. I mean, the first one's pretty self-explanatory. Medication is... I think we've spoke about this in the pub many a time, but for the sake of the podcast, I'll repeat myself. Obviously, otherwise what's the point?
Yeah, we'll just leave it at the pub.
Just leave it, it's fine. So this is called SSRIs. It's a group of medications called Selective Serotonin Reuptake Intake.
I'll take your word for it.
Don't hold me to that, but I can Google it as we speak. But I always just call it SSRIs because that's the short, and who the hell is going to say that?
Yeah, I think I'd call it that as well.
Selective Serotonin Reuptake Inhibitors. Inhibitors.
Inhibitors.
It's just too much. So yes, SSRIs. It's a class of drugs. It's typically kind of... Well, it is an antidepressant.
Right.
And for starters, I find that... That's always been a red flag to me. Because when I first got offered them, I was like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Antidepressants equal zombified.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have that natural reaction, don't they?
Yeah. But what it actually does is... If you think of a compound called serotonin, which is a neurotransmitter, but for the sake of keeping things simple, we'll just say it's the chill hormone.
Mm.
It just kind of communicates to all parts of the brain that everything's cool.
Yeah.
Like, we're fine. And if you don't have enough of that, you can kind of... How do I, like... I kind of liken it to a car that's not got enough petrol. You know, you can't start sparking.
Yeah, right, okay.
You don't have enough and you need it. So this medication is supposed to kind of give you a bit more of that and just make things that little bit easier.
Right.
So the brain doesn't... You know, straight away go, oh my God, this is awful, kind of.
Yeah, so it's just topping up to the level it should be at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't always work, and some people are put off by the side effects, because there are.
Yeah.
It's not something I would shy away from. What did I have now? I was really, really tired. I was much more emotional than usual, and I felt sick for about 2 weeks.
Right.
But it's, if you introduce any kind of chemical into the body that it's not used to, it's going to reject it initially.
Mm. Yeah.
So that is one. That's kind of one route you can go down. Another one, still on the medication point, but a little bit less so, is I take vitamins too.
Mm-hmm.
I take... How would you pronounce... Is it omega or omega?
I've only ever seen it on adverts.
Yeah.
Omega.
Omega. Yeah. Omega, omega, omega. Right. Yeah. I'm having to say omega. That's a fish oil.
Mm-hmm.
And... Fish oil is kind of does the same thing. It will produce serotonin naturally.
Oh, right, okay.
The only difference is it doesn't work quite as fast or as aggressively as medication does.
Mm.
And it doesn't always work. And you have to take a lot of it.
I was going to say, what about if you had loads of fish oil with that?
You can OD on it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not on the packets, is it? The
OD on fish oil. I mean, I don't think you can die from it. I just think, like... And I also take B12, which helps the nerve system in a nutshell.
Right, okay.
There's lots of stuff. So with that, though, what they don't tell you is it turns your urine bright yellow.
I mean, yeah, so that was a surprise the first time.
You think you're dying again. Like, oh, my God, I'm, like, radioactive. And you have a look and you're like, oh, right, okay. So, I mean, yeah, so that's kind of the medication route. Another, well, God, there's so much. This is when I realise how much I know about drugs.
Mm.
I've tried them all. pranolol or beta blockers is another one. That one is more the kind of physical symptoms. It will stop kind of the kind of pounding heart or the shakes.
Right, yeah.
That was one of the first ones I was ever prescribed when I was 15, when they weren't quite sure what was wrong with me. Mm. When I used to blush.
Right.
And all it does is slow your heart down, which again sounds like, what?
Excuse me? Yeah, on paper that sounds quite worrying, doesn't it?
It slows your heart rate down, but it's perfectly natural because it just means that my heart beats a little too fast because it thinks there's something wrong.
Yeah.
So it's the equivalent of someone saying, it's fine.
Yeah.
That actually has become, in the recent years, a very popular kind of social drug, so to speak.
Oh, is it? All right.
People take it before interviews. Or before going on stage. Not in the UK, because you can't get it like that, but in the US. I'm doing this allegedly so we don't get sued. A lot of people will take it before doing something like that.
Yeah. Right. So we don't get sued by the whole of the US.
US, just in case.
You never know with Donald Trump, to be fair.
Final drug I'll talk about is diazepam, Valium. Mother's Little Helper. Have you ever heard of this one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Quite a popular one. It's a famous one, shall we say.
It's the best.
Right.
I wish I could say, like, it's really bad and you shouldn't. It's amazing. And I spoke to my doctor recently about this, who, in recent years, my doctor, I really like him. He talks to me like an adult rather than, like, you know, patronises me like a child. And he said, diazepam was the wonder drug. I think it was like, this is amazing. It stops, like, stomach cramps. It stops, like, muscle tension. It stops insomnia. It stops anxiety. It stops depression. It stops all this stuff. Oh, amazing. We're going to prescribe it to everyone.
I'm sensing a butt.
Oh, shit. It's highly addictive. Like, and they kind of found that out the hard way. Like, oh, shit.
And does it have, you know, if you do become addicted to it, does it have, like, long-term problems, health problems and things?
Not so much, but it's in the same way you get addicted to anything, you know, you take it away and bloody hell, that's hell.
And the problems are worse than they were when you started.
And you get quite emotionally aggressive because you want more and your body thinks, I want that. I don't want to have to do this by myself anymore. I want that.
Yeah, on the crutch.
So I had it because he was like, again, very respectful. He just said to me, listen, you know, if you take the piss with this, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I will not give you any more than 7 tablets and you take them when you absolutely need them, like when the attack is so bad, you're exhausted.
Yeah.
And that was kind of in the early stages of my recovery. And he was right. And it didn't get rid of it because the panic was so aggressive. It just took the edge off.
Right, okay. So you did take them as prescribed and you didn't just have the best week of your life.
I wish I could have, honestly. Because part of me was like, should I? But then I was getting anxious about that, like becoming addicted, so it didn't. But no, he was great because he said to me, like, what's the difference between drinking a small bottle of vodka and taking one of these? You know, that's hypocritical to say you shouldn't be having this, but please go ahead and have that, you know.
Yeah, it's very true.
It's about common sense and kind of like you can have one of these, but are you getting support in other areas?
Yeah,
which leads me nicely onto therapy. CBT is recognised as being the kind of key treatment for panic and anxiety. It's just, I think, I mean, we touched on it in like the panic cycle in other episodes. It's about kind of rearranging your thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you start thinking about things from a different point of view, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is one of the few areas that I actually have some knowledge of.
Go on.
Well, that's pretty much it.
No, you do. It's When you live with anxiety or you live with panic, you get so caught up in this cycle of thoughts that you forget that it's not rational.
Yeah.
Like, that's not necessarily true. Mm. You just think it is because you've written this narrative yourself.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of about rationalising your thoughts, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
On paper kind of thing.
That's exactly it. It's just talking to somebody else and say, why don't we pull all that out of your head and let's see. So you think Simon hates you because he gave you a look in the lift. I know, all right?
How did you know about Simon?
Well, he said. Hey.
I see what you did there.
Thanks. It's bits like that because to you, so, Christ, I'm trying to think. If somebody spoke to me a certain way, when we normally speak, I mean, you came in early and I said, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, you spider senses with tingling.
Yeah.
Something not right.
I'm so in tune to people's emotions and body language. I'm very much like, what's wrong? Whereas in the past, I might not have said anything and thought, he doesn't want to be here.
Yeah.
He can't be asked. I've dragged him away from his family to be here. And seriously, that's how it starts.
Yeah, whereas the reality is I've just got some symptoms of hay fever.
Yeah, I know. But isn't that funny how like one interpretation can be so off?
Yeah.
And yet my brain convinces me that it's accurate.
That's real, yeah.
So CBT, you should always do it with a therapist first for at least 5 sessions, but it is something that you can do at home as well.
Yeah.
And it also teaches you breathing techniques, which I did, I think it was the end of last week's podcast about belly breathing. And
yeah, I think that was the last one, wasn't it?
breathing is so important when you're having a panic attack, because people think they can't breathe, but the irony is they're breathing too much.
Right, yeah.
They're getting too much, and we need more carbon dioxide in the blood. So it's just teaching you to kind of, let's slow this down a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's try that. And
so how does that fit into the rest of the CBT then?
Oh, God, you know what I thought you were going to say then?
What?
How does that fit into the rest of this podcast? You're not making any sense. I'm like, oh, God, I don't know.
What's your point, Claire?
How does that fit into...
Yes, because obviously the two quite separate things, the breathing aspect and the kind of rationalising your thoughts. I just wondered how they... Hang on a minute.
Just choking. Do you want an antihistamine?
No, okay.
Okay.
Yes. So how does it... Yeah, I was wondering how the two things kind of fit together into practically when you... Or if they do at all, or if they are just...
No, they do. Separately. It's kind of... once you rationalise a thought, it's teaching you to... You're allowed to think that thought and you're allowed to feel the way that you feel when it happens. But once we rationalise it, we need to calm the body down.
Right, I see.
That's where the breathing comes in, really. Like, have a shot of vodka. Sorry, do breathing techniques. You know, it's like a...
Volume?
Well, this is what I find really interesting. I don't know what you think. It's why should I do that? You know, a lot of people think the breathing takes a lot of effort and it takes practice because it doesn't work the first time you do it. It doesn't work the third time you do it because you're not used to it. Whereas take this and it'll go away like that.
Yeah. It's kind of the same with, you know, fatty diets and things, isn't it? You know, we all know deep down that we don't have to spend any money to get fit. We can just go for a run, or, you know, and yet we'll, you know, you go out and buy whatever's the latest thing.
Just drink this and you'll lose 20 pounds.
Yeah, it seems like it's easier.
But I've always got a lot of sympathy for people at the start of their journey. You think, this is so hard. I'm like, I know it is. You just, you know, you've spent, Christ, a long time thinking and reacting the wrong way. So it's going to be hard to change that behaviour.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not going to happen overnight.
Okay, so the third one is lifestyle.
I know.
Again, this is the most frustrating one, because once you get kind of set in your ways, who wants to change it? It's too hard. Mm. I had to do it, definitely, when I realised that my job was making me ill.
Yeah, yeah.
Not so much the job itself, but my attitude towards it, the kind of perfectionism, like get here at half an hour before you start, leave an hour after you finish, only have half an hour lunch, that mentality of you have to look overworked.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. That's how you get promotion.
Yeah.
Which is really bizarre now, like, because I'm older, I think, you were really hurting yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it's about doing your job as best you can. But I know it sounds a bit boring, but that's the way you get a promotion, isn't it?
It is.
Showing you're good at your job.
When I started off, it was very much a kind of, you have to look like you're on it all the time. Which is ridiculous, because how often does someone, we just think, oh, let's have a quick check of BuzzFeed, or I'll just snip away? I'm just going to snip away at my hair. No one will notice. But no, I did, and I didn't take care of myself at all. My workload was double what it should have been, because it became like a badge of honour to be overworked.
Yeah.
Everybody could do it. And then go out in the evening and get hammered with everyone.
Yeah, and I think that kind of lifestyle is difficult for anyone. But if you're suffering from, you know, anything mental health related, it probably makes it, you know, doubly difficult, if not more, you know.
No, massively. It was, well, the breakdown that made me realise this is not okay. Like, you're not okay. Like, your brain's finally told you that it's had enough.
Mm.
What have I been doing? And it made me kind of think, I'm like, what was my daily routine like? And I was like, oh my God, this is bad. And it was just really small things, like I wasn't eating enough.
Yeah.
Drinking too much coffee, drinking too much alcohol, not getting enough sleep. A lot of stuff that you kind of take for granted, I think.
Yeah, it's easy to fall into bad habits, isn't it?
You never have, though. I'm looking at you now and I'm like, you've never done anything like this, because you're just, I don't know, you're just better at identifying what you actually need to do.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I've just got too much serotonin. when you were describing what it is before, I kind of thought maybe that's my my Achilles heel, is having too much of it.
I'm just too relaxed. I need to freak out more. Yeah. So it's kind of, those are the three main options. I could kind of bang on a bit about exercise too, or like CBD oil, but I do mention that in my Instagram, check it out. But those are the three ones. I wish I could say there's like some magic wand.
Mm.
And like, off you go. But trust me, if there were, I wouldn't have shared it with anyone, okay?
Well, you would share it, but at cost, you wouldn't share it on a free podcast.
50 quid a time.
Yeah.
50 quid a wave, is that? I'm seriously picturing like a wand with a star on top. What do you think of as a wand?
Well, now you've said that, that's all I can see.
That's all you can see.
Mm.
Yeah. So, as is custom with every podcast, I'm going to tell you this week's story. Did we do like a jingle for that?
I think we do a jingle for tip of the week. I don't know.
Story.
Story of the week.
Brought to you by... We don't have one this week. The Lake District.
The whole of the Lake District.
The Lake District and... Sasha the cat, wherever she is. This week's panic attack, well, not this week's, it happened many years ago. I had the absolute honour of talking to panic attack legend, Dr. David Carbonell. Oh. Meaning that he's not had the most, it's not like a world record. He's the guy who I've spoke about lots on this podcast who kind of saved my life, and he's just runs a... I think he runs the panic attack clinic in Chicago.
Right, okay.
I should really fact check myself, shouldn't I? He's a big deal.
He knows his stuff.
He knows his shit, okay? I managed to get... I paid to have like a session with him on Skype. I was like, right. I'm definitely doing this because I felt myself slipping back. I'd had quite a few horrendous ones. This was like about 3 years ago.
Right.
And they do say you can go into like... I don't want to say remission, but you know, you have a, something happens. And I don't want to say fall off the wagon, because that's, you know, you can go through stages where it comes back.
Right.
And I was scared. And all I could think about was my first one, you know, the breakdown when I started running around the flat. Mm. And all I could think was I behaved so out of control that night. I can't bear the idea of it coming back.
Right.
It was horrendous. And so I'm like, I need to talk to him. And it changed my life, this, and it changed my perspective on panic as a whole, because he said, all right, you tell me from start to finish what you did that night. Mm. And I was like, it's okay, right, I came in. I couldn't breathe. And he's like, right, yep, that's a symptom of panic. I'm like, I started crying. He's like, yeah. I'm like, no, you don't understand. I was hysterical. He's like, okay, yeah, you were really crying. He's like, yeah, go on, you were really crying. I'm like, why is he not taking this seriously? And I'm like, then I was... running around my flat, and he was like, did you leave the flat? I was like, no. He's like, okay, so you're running around your own premises. Nobody saw you. You were running around your own flat. I'm like, yes. And like, and then what did you do? I was like, I was rolling around the floor. He's like, in your own flat? And I was like, yes. He's like, so you're rolling around the floor in your own flat, just like a child would if they were having, you know, a tantrum. That's not destructive, is it? And then what did you do? And I was like, I rang NHS direct. Speak to Andy.
Hello, Andy.
It's like, okay, so you rang a hotline? He's like, did you hurt anybody? I'm like, no. Did you hurt yourself? No. I'm like, but I thought about it. Like, yeah. You thought about it. Did you do anything?
Mm.
I was like, no. And he's like, that's panic. It's this huge trick. Like, you kind of thought you behaved in a way that was so unacceptable that you kind of became scarred by it.
Mm.
And he's like, in reality, if you really pull it back, you didn't do anything that a toddler wouldn't do.
Yeah.
When, you know, they're tired or... anything someone who's had too much to drink might do, or, you know.
Yeah, if anything, you probably did less.
Yeah. But in my head, I was like, oh my God, I behave like a lunatic.
Mm.
Not really. I've seen my grandma do worse. But it was, I think it's things like that, having somebody who listens but will not take you up on. I'm like, no, you didn't. You didn't do anything.
Mm.
I'm like,
yeah, it sounds like, I suppose it's talking to somebody who really knows what they're talking about.
Yeah.
That probably helps as well.
And he was just like, it was horrible. Like, I bet it was really scary, but it was terrifying because, you know, you, for the first time in your life, you can't trust your brain.
Mm.
Like, it's true, but it's like you can't spend your life kind of comparing everything to that night because you didn't do anything. Like, if you would have, like, stabbed someone to death, then fair enough.
Yeah.
Like, but you barely did anything interesting. And I was like, what? Like,
that sounds like a challenge.
I know. I was like, right, all right then. I'm going to ring Andy again. So
tell you some home truths.
And that, so every panic attack I kind of have now, I think you're not going to lose control in the way you think you are or fear you might do.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think anybody can appreciate that as an adult, even just in your own head, losing control is a scary thing to happen.
Mm.
But it's like you say, you know, what did you actually do in the end?
Mm.
How did it actually affect anybody else other than Dan and Andy?
Yeah.
Didn't affect anyone else, did it?
No, it really didn't. It was, I hate to say, all in my head, because it wasn't, but I mean, the idea of this was in my head.
Mm.
It was, what do you call it, like a shit show. Like, yeah, so that's a short one this week, but I think that story is quite powerful.
Yeah, it is.
And you ever get the opportunity to look up Dr. David Carbonell, please do. He's a genius. He's just had cataract surgery. Spoke to him yesterday.
Good to know.
I know. And he's coming to London in September. I can't wait.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, it's been...
Just to see you, personal.
I hope so. It's nothing to do with the seminars that he's running.
No. That's just a secondary reason.
I'm going to be like, David! Like, oh, my God. This woman again. So, this leads nicely onto the tip of the week.
Tip of the week.
Sponsored by... Clickin.
I think it was a bit huskier than usual, my tip of the week, with my hay fever symptoms.
How is that now?
Still.
In the last 30 minutes.
Yeah, in the last 2 minutes since we last spoke about it. Yeah, it's
okay.
It's all right.
Well, you laughed at this earlier, but I don't know how else to say it.
It's a lovely phrase.
So self-care, I mean, it can sound a little bit wanky, self-care. I'm very aware of it, and I'm like to keep it simple, but... Okay, so this week, this tip is about self-massage.
That does sound wanky.
It does sound wanky. It's not about masturbation, all right? Let's just chill out, okay? Right. You'll know that if you have panic, your muscles seize up. They tense up. And afterwards, it can be quite painful. They can ache. So never underestimate the power of just, I was going to say, giving them a rub. It's just getting worse, isn't it? But I like to, you know, for me in particular, it's my hands. How weird is that? Like I clench my hands and I don't realise I'm doing it. My fists. And afterwards, my fingers in particular can really ache. So I like to get some nice hand cream, or if you can get oil, that's even better. And just massage them for a bit. Just soothe the muscles. Every little thing like that. Stop smiling.
I can't help it.
You're an adult, Chris.
I know.
Just, yeah. There you go. It works. I mean, you know, because we go for massage in like spas and stuff, but you don't like it, do you?
I don't like being touched. No.
Well, you
not even really by myself.
You don't even self-massage.
That sounds weird,
yeah.
You know, I mean.
God. Because traditionally, you know, you look at like Roman, Greek, they do it every night, you know, a hot bath. Jesus Christ.
We're not getting through this.
Good God. Just massage your muscles, all right? The ones that hurt.
Ones that hurt the most.
Can be very beneficial, all right? Thank you very much for listening. Please do subscribe. And we'd actually love you to leave comments, because I've heard on the grapevine that if you leave comments, it helps us kind of become visible when other people do searches. Like, just that kind of interaction is very useful. So,
right, okay.
Do it.
Yeah, subscribe.
Subscribe and comment and self-massage. Okay.
Right now.
Bye.
Bye.
What a peculiar place to have a party.